recorded, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
And Jarmin Leitner. A good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, in the studio, along with Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League, and I'm with First Thursday Jacksonville, the president of the organization. And joining us on the line is Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville in Seattle and Anchor Global Business USA, and he's traveling this morning in New York, I believe. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning. Happy Saturday. How you guys doing? And good morning, Duval in Jacksonville. We're in New York. We've been here all week with the NBCSL Conference of National Black Caucus of State Legislators. And we've had a great convention conference here. It's an annual event. This is the 42nd annual caucus meeting. And I have with me this morning the president, and the president-elect of the organization, and I'm going to introduce them, and we're going to talk a little bit about what the NBCSL is all about. And good morning, Representative Parker, President Parker. How are you doing, Porter? I'm sorry, it's been a long week, y'all. So bear with me.
All right, y'all. I heard that that Georgia boy is coming out.
Hey, y'all. Hey. Hey, okay, I have Representative Parker from Porter from Indiana, and he's the president of the NBCSL. And good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Yeah. President, tell us a little bit about what the NBCSL is all about. I think you've been president for 2 years now.
Right, that's correct. The National Black Caucus State Legislators is an organization here in the United States that has about 600 plus members throughout the United States. We represent about 45 states, District of Columbia, and U.S. Virgin Islands. We were established back in 1977, and the whole premise of the organization is start off like 17 or 18 people out of Detroit in 1977 to begin to look at our agenda here in the United States and help move our agenda and speak in a unified voice.
Okay, you've been president for 2 years now?
That's correct, two years.
What were some of the highlights of your presidency?
Well, some of the highlights that we had as a presidency, we began to continue to work with Congressional Black Caucus. We meet with them once or twice a year during the Congressional Black Caucus event, as well as what we call our Day on the Hill. We had five pillars that we were working on this year, dealing with the last 2 years, education, economic development, infrastructure, health, just to give you a couple of things that we worked on. And our whole point was to begin to look at the infrastructure, not only just with highways and waterways, but also technology to help bridge the technology gap that's happening throughout this country. We are very concerned about, 5G or 4G, that our people have access to IT services, and just the whole premise of being at the beginning to communicate, and also looking at what occurs in rural communities that does not occur in rural communities. So those are some of the highlights. Education is a cornerstone of our free society, and we understand that, and we worked a lot with educational initiatives that we have for the last couple of years.
And now, President Porter, when you talk about the Indiana, What's going on over there, and what's the particular what things do you want to highlight about your constituents?
Well, over in Indiana, we're getting ready going to our 121st General Assembly. This is our 2-year budget that we're writing. I know one thing is that people don't believe that we're one of 5 states that don't have any that does not have hate crime legislation. That has become part of the governor's agenda now after 19 years of 20 years of working on that piece of legislation. We're writing our about $35 billion budget. The other issues is also infrastructure and roads and things like that. A lot of things has happened within the state of Indiana. We quote unquote don't raise taxes, but we do fees. I don't care how you write it. You know, we raise the taxes on poor people, on low income people. So, we're the super minority. That means they don't even have to deal with us, as Democrats. But we're at the table, from time to time, and we're trying to make sure that our people are represented in a meaningful way.
Okay. And earlier this week, we had the, Reverend Al Sharpton here, and we were talking about the diabetes awareness and its effects, the adverse effects that it has on the African American population. Do you have anything to add to that?
Right. Well, you know, through our town hall, our policy that we had with Eli Lilly leading the way, but with former other groups like that, we began to really concentrate and talk about diabetes. You know, health, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. You got to have a good, healthy atmosphere, our good health for our individuals. And we had a great town hall meeting. We had 200 or 300 people there that sit there and listen to Al Sharpton. We have panelists that talked about diabetes and said, you know, this is not your grandma's diabetes anymore. It's a new way.
Yes.
And, you know, one thing, young folks, you know, we have the Affordable Care Act, but, you know, young folks got to understand that you can get sick too. And they think they're invincible, and we don't want to continue to do the same things over and over and over again and wind up with type 2 diabetes.
Okay. Thank you, President Porter. And we appreciate you. It was great meeting you this week and spending some time with you, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the future.
Truly, it's been truly a pleasure to work with you this week.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Jarman, how are we looking? Do we need to take a break, or are we okay?
No, we still have a pretty good time.
Yeah, Larry.
Couple more minutes.
Before you have another interviewee, right?
Correct.
Okay, before you we go into that, we understand that our former president, George Bush passed last evening. I guess you
correct.
You did see that. Yes. Yeah, so...
Our 41st president dies at the age of 94.
Yes, and our condolences go out to the Bush family, and you know, he's been a stalwart. You know, as I was reading back up on him, he was one of the most athletic of presidents that we've had. So, our condolences and prayers to their family.
Yes, and we just got to remember, you got to keep people in your prayers. You know, we have some that have lost loved ones during this holiday season, and it's. It's kind of tough for some people, so we just have to keep them encouraged and keep them lifted. And Larry?
And of course, Larry, you know, we have a guest this morning following this segment, Joe Peppers, executive director. Is it executive director or president?
CEO.
Oh, CEO.
Yeah. Both titles wrong. CEO.
That's what happens with these boys from Georgia. They always getting something.
Oh, okay. So, well, he's in the studio, and we're going to talk later about what's going on with
the Kids Hope Alliance.
But
Okay. So
we're going to take Larry. We're going to have to take a break and then come back to the interviewee in the next segment. So we're going to take a music break, and this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Birth. Heaven was satisfied
that there would be peace on earth. All creation, every power, every life would call on his name. Children, love has arrived, and you know the world will never truly be the same.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
he's my refuge.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
he's my tower, my friend.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
he came to my rescue, and I don't understand it, but I know the love he's given me will never end.
There is joy in the world because my Savior reigns. He's the source of my strength, Lord of lords, King of kings, my salvation, my Redeemer, in the face of all I fear. He is love without compromise, and I know that he's the reason that I'm standing here.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
he's my Savior.
Jesus, he's my Savior.
Jesus,
oh yeah.
Jesus,
he's my power.
Jesus,
my
power.
Jesus,
my strength.
Jesus,
he's the source of my joy. I give him all my devotion, hey, cause I know that I will never be the same again.
Jesus is the love of my life.
He's my provider, he's my hope when I fall.
Jesus is the love of my life.
There when I need him, when nobody else will call, he's right on time.
Jesus is the love of my life.
He gave me power, the faith to stand, hey.
Jesus is the love of my life.
I wanna thank you, Lord,
cause
I know that I will never be alone again.
I wanna talk to you,
Lord Jesus. Jesus is the love of my life.
Save my life.
Jesus, Jesus is the love of my life.
When I couldn't stand up straight.
Jesus.
All right, welcome back to the
Jesus is the love of my life.
Yes, he
I like
is.
That.
Isn't
it? Who is that?
That's Kim featuring Ron Isley and Patti LaBelle.
Patti LaBelle. And Ron Isley.
And that's a,
but those
that's
are R&B guys.
Well, okay. it's a Christmas season song, okay? So what Christmas means. So Jesus is the love of our life. And welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. And we are talking with Larry and a couple of state legislators or representatives out in New York at a national Black caucus of state legislators that took place this week. So, Larry, we'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Hey, thanks again. And I am live from New York City, the Marriott here in Brooklyn. And we've been here all week, and I had the pleasure of meeting. We just heard from the outgoing president of the NBCSL, and now we're going to meet and introduce you all to the incoming president. She'll take over in January, and it's Representative Gilda Cobb Hunter, our distinguished colleague out of South Carolina, and she has some roots there in Florida. So good morning and welcome, Representative Hunter.
It's Cobb Hunter, Larry.
Cobb
hey,
Hunter.
And look, let me say hey to all my family there in Duval in the Jacksonville area. I represent South Carolina in the State House, but I'm a proud native of Indian River County, a little small town called Gifford. So all you family people near Vero Beach, all family that may be listening to your station, hey, y'all.
well, hey, what are your, you're taking over in January from President Porter. And tell us a little bit about what you campaign on and what your ideas are as moving forward with the organization.
Sure, Larry. One of the things I think is important for you to know, just in case you want to come next year, is we'll be at the extreme opposite. We're going from this cold climate in New York to sunny South Florida. NBCSL 2019 will be held in Fort Lauderdale.
All right.
And we're looking forward to
hey,
it.
Hey, Fort Lauderdale.
And, of course, the theme of our conference next year is creating collaboratives to make a difference in our community's future. You just heard our president talk about the town hall that we did here with Eli Lilly. That's an example of collaboratives that we will build on and continue to explore new opportunities to make a difference in our community. So I'm all about cooperation, collaboration. I want my administration to be marked by transparency, accountability, and I'm really interested in taking the time to make substantive change in awesome. Communities of color.
Awesome. You're in representing South Carolina.
I represent Orangeburg County. That's, of course, between Columbia and Charleston. And we are home to Claflin University, the oldest university, HBCU, in South Carolina, right. along with South Carolina State and a number of other two-year community colleges.
Okay. Now, President Cobb Hunter, what do you have any things that you want to say to the listeners and around the world, because we have, you know, we're streaming live. So
yeah, and you before I respond to that, let me join your co-hosts and sponsors in offering condolences on behalf of NBCSL to the late 41 George H.W. Bush. One of the things that I really appreciated about him is we differed politically, our philosophy, but he was a nice man. He was humble and, quite frankly, had character that is really not found in a lot of public officials today.
Absolutely.
So I really appreciate them acknowledging his passing and condolences to the family. And, you know, being a typical politician, I talked, and now I don't remember your question.
Is that generally the rule with politicians?
Pretty much.
Let's send a shout out to Senator Audrey Gibson. I understand she's in attendance.
Yes. Hey, may I say, listen, Senator Audrey Gibson is a phenomenal leader. She is here leading the Florida delegation along with a number of members. We've got Camille Brown. We've got a lot, Bobby DuBose, a bunch of folk from Florida here representing the Sunshine State. But just very quickly before we end, let me again say that the whole focus of my term of office is about building capacity, making a difference in our communities. I think it's critical time. There is much work to do. If I had the last point I would make is challenge your audience to get involved in their communities. Don't wait for politicians to make changes. You get involved. Mm-hmm. Civic engagement is critical. The elections have passed, but we don't need to stop the organizing that was done across the country around these elections. Don't stop now. Just do it.
Amen.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. You guys have any other questions for President Cobb Hunter?
Mel, thank you very much for rising early to be with us this morning.
Thank you for asking me.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, President. And I'll join you all for breakfast a little bit later on. Okay, so, hey, we're
wait a minute, Larry. What about us?
Hey, look, I'll save you some.
Looks like we're the only two that don't have breakfast right, right now. It's okay. All right, Larry, so those are all your guests for this one?
Those are the guests right now. I'm looking for Senator Gibson. She said that she would try to just drop by, but if she does, I'll chime in and let you all know. But now we can go on to the homicide track of Doc Monk.
No, I don't want to... I can.
You want to go ahead and insert? Okay, go ahead and talk about
it. Well, yes, let's mention that because we're up past the 90 mark in terms of homicides this year in Duval County, and we're on track to equal or surpass the number that we had on last year. Now, crime is
generally down. We've had a decrease in overall crime in Florida. And we've, and aside from murders, we've been doing decent, even better. But we've had a 2% increase in murders in Florida. So even though crime is down, the murder rate is up.
Okay, so overall crime is down, but specifically murders are up.
Right. We're, you know, the breaking and entering, the, you know, abuse and...
Okay, those crimes.
All of those crimes are down, except if you're in the NFL. But anyway...
Uh-oh. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. So wait a minute.
But on
hey,
a serious, but
Doc, you can't throw that out there and leave it like that. Now,
oh no, I mean
the Kansas City running back that was just fired from the team, Kareem Hunt, with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, it's too bad that we still have these young folks that are consistent with their violence towards women and others. And you know, we feel for the young man, but you know, we have to learn to be more mature, and especially
absolutely
to be in the public.
Right, we've got to keep our hands in our pocket, and we can't get too excited about what they say.
Absolutely.
Okay, just absolutely. You know, conflict management.
Right.
Okay, yeah. We've got to manage the conflict, and you know, these young people with all of this money and fame, and you know, it's a lot going on, and many of them just can't handle that. So we encourage them, the NFL, to keep working, you know, to help these young men get through these this transition in terms of how they're dealing with our females.
With
it's unacceptable, but just, you know, people are innocent until proven guilty. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. So how much time do we have, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got some time. Let's talk to Joe. Joe Peppers from Chicago. Are you from Chicago?
Yes, sir. Chicago Heights, Illinois.
Chicago Heights, Illinois. Oh, okay, Steve. All right. And a Chicago.
He wants you to recognize I'm a Cubs fan.
Okay, great. And Joe was appointed by Mayor Curry to head up the Kids Hope Alliance. What is that, a year ago maybe?
Yes, the board appointed me on April 5th of this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so.
And I started April 30th.
So, what, 6 months?
7 months. Yeah.
7 months. So, yeah. You, you know, what about, you think there are you a keeper?
I like to think so.
Okay, well, we're going to do what we can to make, you know, make certain that that happens, okay? So tell us, you know, just a little before we go into the break, tell us a little about yourself, where you're from, I mean, what you've been doing, and
sure,
et cetera.
Yeah, so from Chicago originally, huge Chicago sports fan. Went to college, United States Military Academy at West Point, and then was able to serve in the Army as an Army officer for almost 10 years. Did 3 tours to Iraq, and was a Bronze Star recipient on my third tour. And then I worked for Amazon and then Apple. And then somebody talked me into coming to Jacksonville a long time ago. And I asked the good Lord why. And then I realized on April 5th, 2018, that my mission was to really serve as the leader of Kids Hope Alliance. So we're really excited about it. I feel like it's a blessing. And it's been a wonderful ride, actually, despite what some might have thought. I think actually the community has been really warm and receptive to me, so that's been a good thing.
Okay, so as the CEO, can you just share with our listeners what the Kids Hope Alliance is?
So the Kids Hope Alliance is essentially the city's fiscal agent for child services. So what that means is we spend approximately $42 million in largely appropriated dollars.
I got choked on that figure.
In after-school programming, summer programming, therapists, coaching for in early learning. We provide a lot of consulting in child care and urban core. And then we do juvenile justice programming. And so it's really we cover 0 to 18 or 0 to really to 19. And some of our focuses across that continuum are literacy and workforce development.
And that's across Duval County. Is that specifically
correct.
Just for
specific
Duval?
Specific to Duval County.
Okay.
Those are taxes, so specifically for Duval taxes.
Okay. Correct.
County.
Okay. So, all right. Well, we're going to continue this conversation with Joe Peppers, the CEO of Kids Hope Alliance, after this next break, and we'll be back. Great.
Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Everybody say,
glory to the Lamb.
We sing
glory,
glory
to the Lamb.
We give all glory,
glory
to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
Yes, we sing
glory,
glory to the
to
Lamb.
The Lamb.
And this is why. For he is
Alpha
and Omega,
Omega.
Forever.
Forever
is he. And he will reign forever.
Forever.
Holy, holy, holy,
holy
is he.
Is he.
So together let's sing glory,
glory
to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
Father, we sing tonight glory,
glory,
glory to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
We give all the glory,
glory
to the Lamb. Jesus is his name, we give
glory,
glory to, the
to the Lamb.
For he is
he's
the beginning,
okay.
And he is the end,
forever,
forever he remains.
He
and he will reign forever,
he reign
with all power and authority.
Yes, glory to you, Lord. And welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host, in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford. And joining us on the line is Larry Williams. And we do have a guest in the studio with us. We have Joe Peppers, who's the CEO of Kids Hope Alliance. And we thank you, Joe, for being here this morning. While we're talking about the Kids Hope Alliance, and you mentioned that it's a fiscal agent, meaning that you all basically are the umbrella who holds about $42 million. Is that an annual budget?
Correct. So we the city has given us $32 million, and then we have $10 million in grants.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And those are for child services throughout The Duval County area for children ages birth up to about 19 years old.
Correct.
Okay, so what types of organizations can apply for the funding?
So really, largely, we're funding nonprofits. So we've got, you know, everybody from your Boys and Girls Club, YMCA, community and schools, to Daniel's Kids, right? So we really, really do cover the gamut in terms of programming. And then we also recently applied, we facilitated 37 grants mm-hmm. to small organizations, smaller nonprofits, for an effort around stopping the violence. And really the focus was on around grassroots level organizations, a little bit smaller, that were a little bit closer to the community.
Joe, you know, you may not know it, but I was picked as one of the members of the Crime and Safety Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess our charge is to come up with solutions and strategies for reducing the crime in these neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you mentioned the fact that a number of small organizations in the hood received a small amount of money for their efforts. Do you see perhaps these organizations becoming stronger? You know, is that a role that the Kids Hope Alliance plays, you know, in terms of empowering the smaller organizations to the grassroots ones that get down and, you know, those that live in those communities, work in those communities, know the people in those communities? You know, are there some special efforts to be inclusive where that is concerned?
Yeah, so the mayor was really insistent that we really try to focus on getting closer to the community and not necessarily trying to go through a big franchise nonprofit, right? So so that was really his idea, and he did a good. It worked. It's worked. And to answer your question, absolutely. So if you think about it, we normally only deal with the you know, the Boys and Girls Clubs or the folks that can manage $300,000 or $6 million, right? Like major money. Mm-hmm. And what this has really allowed us to do is we had, through the efforts of Dr. Blaylock, who's our chief of strategy, and our COO, Mary Tobin, what we really have been exposed to is a number of organizations that are really strong and very creative and would have never gotten a chance because they just didn't have the infrastructure. And so what that's going to do is expose them to our process, to our systems. And so then when we cut new RFPs for preteen teen, when we cut new RFPs for after school and summer programming, these folks can actually apply. And then one of the things that we're working on is really leveraging our trust fund. So our trust fund gives us more agility to fund smaller organizations. And so we haven't to date necessarily done that. And this is actually the first time that we really leveraged it at this level.
So the trust fund is separate and apart from your annual budget?
No, it's actually part of our budget, but it is it's a small pot of, it's been typically a smaller pot of money. And so what we're saying is that it gives us some agility, and what the city council was able to do for us is put the money into the trust fund so we could get the money out as quickly as possible. And we want to definitely leverage that going forward.
Now, are there any opportunities for for-profit organizations to, I guess, bid on the RFPs or gain access to any of the funding that's available?
Typically, no, right? So we really are trying to make an effort to deal with nonprofits. Folks that are in social services are the folks that are the experts, and so not necessarily, right? So if Wells Fargo's got a not, you know, the local Wells Fargo creates a small foundation, and they want to do some programming, and they have to hire an expert, and they have to do it just like everyone else does, right?
Okay. Now, are there caps on the funding that is, I guess, given out? You know, do you have caps on the funding when you put out an RFP, which is a request for a proposal?
Yeah, so when we put out, in essence, a request for a proposal or an application, so what we're looking for is can you serve 100 kids in Lakeshore Elementary? And then the going rate is about $1,500 per child.
Okay.
It's between $1,500 and $1,600 per child. And so then if you say, yes, I can contract to serve 100 kids in this elementary school, mm-hmm. then you sign up, and then that would be, in essence, your contract that you serve those children. In some cases, there's value add contracts, right? So it says you're going to do X, Y, Z based off of the contract. It could be, you know, for instance, in Daniel's kids, we look at partnerships around their various programming, much of which is foster kids, right? So, mm-hmm. And then we're partnered with United Way to do the therapist, right? So each contract is very different. We spend about $3.5 million on therapists.
Okay. So Joe, before you sign in, Larry, I have one question on the, well, it's not really a question, but we know that, and we often talk about the equitable distribution of cities' resources, and let's be upfront. There's been concern over the years that the same organizations generally get the funding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this is not to speak to their effectiveness. That's not what we're doing. What we're saying is, how do you expand it such that other organizations can can be more involved in the Kids Hope Alliance, rather in addition to the traditional organizations that participate every year?
So one of the things that the mayor said when he announced our budget was that they asked us a question: how many kids are you trying to see year over year, right? So there's more kids. There's more than enough kids to go around.
Right.
Right. So it's, and then one of the things he said in his budget presentation to the city council was that he wanted to improve growth by 10% year over year. So, and our mission is actually to ensure that children have access to our programming. So we have to grow. And I think that to specifically answer your question, I think that we would be remiss if we didn't say that we haven't grown with necessarily what the community is asked, in a way that the community has asked us to grow. Okay. And so the urban core has a specific set of needs, and then there's folks that live in that community that need access to us in order to help us inform our decision making. They haven't had that access in the past. And so one of the efforts we've made is to do some listening sessions with children and with families and with community leaders. And we're continuing to build those relationships, because I think it's really easy for us to only listen to the people that are in the nonprofit community and then make our funding decisions off that. That would be flawed. And that's basically what we've been doing. So the mayor is saying, no, let's go ahead. Let's talk to the folks that are in the community. Let's listen to a pastor. Let's listen to a community leader. Even if we don't necessarily agree with them, let's take in that information, so then we can inform our funding in a way that I think is more culturally appropriate.
Okay, Larry.
This is Larry Williams, live from New York in the Big Apple. what suggestions do you have for those organizations that haven't been had a chance to participate in the Alliance program, as to how to prepare for participation? What types of things do they need to, as an organization, prepare before coming in and trying to make a proposal to your organization?
I love that question. And the reason is because we get various reasons why folks don't apply, whether they have the time or they don't have the expertise. The first thing is, start with building a relationship with us. We have our board meetings every Wednesday, every third Wednesday of the month at 10 o'clock. Come to our board meetings. Most folks get my email, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. They get my email, they get Dr. Blaylock's email, they get Mary's email. So we're very accessible, and we want to be. Quite frankly, we want to be mostly accessible to children, in particular teens. But get online and build a relationship with us. And then from there, when the opportunity presents itself, we're going to have listening sessions around RFPs. If we roll out a new RFP for juvenile justice, we're going to have community sessions leading up to that.
Okay.
So those folks can come and listen and then talk and then and build that relationship for us. And then I'll use an example quickly. Don't Miss a Beat. Don't Miss a Beat started as basically a fledgling little organization. And then they got a little summer program, and then they did well. Then they got a little after-school program, and they did well. And then they got a Stop the Violence grant, and they've done well. And so what they've done is they had a really good leader who was very persistent in building the relationship with us, and then she kept getting access because her program performed at a high level of excellence. And so that to me is really about building that relationship with us and then listening and being willing to sort of come in and get your jersey dirty, as President Bush used to say.
Absolutely. And you know, those are the things, Joe, that we at First Thursday, Jacksonville and the Urban League, that we've been building, trying to build relationships with the city. And also, you know, those relationships are things that are nurtured over time. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we think that because we feel we have a great idea that everyone else should think that it's a great idea, but through collaborative efforts, you heard the president, the incoming president of the NBCSL, talk about collaborative partnerships and things, and so when that's great for us to reach out to you. Now, are you and your organization doing things to reach out to those organizations in the forms of, you know, newsletters or newspapers, the papers that our people read and our population reads and you know, the black newspapers and radio stations, et cetera, letting them know that those meetings on the third Wednesday
of every month.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What is that?
They're board meetings. Correct. Or yes, third yes, Wednesday ma'am. At 10 o'clock.
Yeah. So we actually have gotten into the Florida Star. And then we started to build some relationships with the Urban League, which we think are going to bear some fruit. And then
we think.
I'm hedging my bets.
Hey, spoken like a true politician.
Yeah. So we're really doing it, trying to make an effort to get newsletters out. We'll be doing blogs. So we'll be launching a real intentional effort around marketing in January to really make sure that we get the stories out. So yeah, absolutely. And then we've been using Twitter and Facebook, and we've gotten some really good traction with a lot of the community. We're trying to do partnerships with EWC. So one of the things that's a core value is cultural inclusivity. And what that means is that if we're serving kids in the urban core, then the people that we're talking to in order to build those relationships will look like that. And so we believe strongly in that. Now, that doesn't mean everybody going to get what they want, right? Mm-hmm. So to your point earlier, just because you got a good idea doesn't mean you're going to get some money. But it does mean that you get access, right?
And so yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Joe, one more thing, and a shameless plug, but if you need any help with that, consider the Anchor Ad Group. We do a great job of reaching out to the community and doing public relations and marketing efforts. So
yeah, I mean, one of the things before we go on a break, we've got young professionals over at the Urban League. We have a program, and this would be a great opportunity mm-hmm. for young people to get involved with the Kids Hope Alliance. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk more about that at some point.
Now, Joe, is there a website that people can visit to access or look for the RFPs as they are posted?
KidsHopeAlliance.org.
Okay, KidsHopeAlliance.org.
Then always check out our Facebook and our Twitter.
So you don't have COJ on your...
No, sir.
Mm-mm. Oh, you separate entity?
No, sir. We are part of the city of Jacksonville.
Okay.
But it's right. KidsHopeAlliance.org. Okay, well, we're going to take another music break, and we thank you so much, Joe Peppers with Kids Hope Alliance, for sharing with us this morning. And our next segment is the Entrepreneur Corner. If you are a small business owner or you have any upcoming events, you can call in at 296-2251 to share that with our listeners, and we'll be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
So amazing. so amazing. Your love for us is overwhelming. How awesome is our God? So amazing. So amazing. Your love for us is overwhelming. How awesome is our God?
We are back on Praise 107.9, and this is the Empowerment Hour. And we have been talking with Joe Peppers, the CEO of the Kids Hope Alliance. We've been talking with representatives at the National Black Caucus of State Legislators. And we're going to continue that conversation as we turn it back over to Larry, who is in New York right now with one of the representatives.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning. And as we said, we've had, a lot of participation. We had the folks that the outgoing and the incoming president. And then we also, I just want to have him say good morning to your representing Congressman Al Lawson's office, Tony Hill. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to say hey to the folks there in Duval.
Duval.
Yes, Duval.
What's going on quickly with Congressman Lawson and things that you're working on there?
Well, of course, they're trying to put the leadership team together in Washington. I'm pretty sure everybody has been hearing about Nancy Pelosi as the next speaker. Hadn't had a chance to talk to the congressman. He's en route over here tomorrow for the Veterans Day piece at the Jaguar game. So he'll be there with his wife. He's trying to move to Transportation Committee, which would be a plus for us, especially with us deepening the port in Jacksonville. And, of course, CSX and some of the other. We're trying to be known as a logistic hub in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So transportation would be great. But he is also, Larry, serves on small business, which we feel is very important in the Jacksonville area because most of the businesses that employ people are small businesses.
Yes, sir. Okay, Tony, thank you for stopping by. We got some folks on hold, and we appreciate you coming by and tell the congressman we'll be talking to him about some small business stuff.
And tell him hello in Duval.
All right. Hey, again, Larry Williams from the Big Apple here in New York City. So I know we have some folks on hold.
Yes.
And want to thank Tony Hill for dropping by and saying hi. We're still looking for our Senator Gibson. So if I see her, we'll try to bring her on as well.
All right. Well, this is our Entrepreneur Corner, and we do have a caller on the line this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Michael Cobb, Accentuate Elevate Your Style Boutique.
Yes. All right. Good morning, Michael. Share with us what's going on.
Well, okay, before you do that, did you make any money doing Black Friday and
or Small Business Saturday?
Small Business Saturday and something happened, Cyber Monday. And
yes, those are you have them all.
So many ways, so many ways to spend money. Gosh,
Dr. Danford, we did actually. Fox 30 News came out, they interviewed us, and also. Mm-hmm. 2 days prior, we had Channel 4 interview those.
Oh.
So those great plugs.
Yes.
Everybody said he saw us on TV. It was great, great, great shopping for Black Friday.
So what's
and
going
what
on?
What we got going on now, we have 50% off all jewelry from 12 to 2. 50% off all jewelry from 12 to 2. And then you have a chance to win a $500 shopping spree.
Okay.
And also from an event standpoint, Blue Diner is putting together a holiday gala that's going to happen December the 14th.
Are they going to have it in the gumbo?
You know what? Dr. Danford, he's bringing something better. He's doing a four-course meal.
Oh, my goodness.
And he has a presentation. When he brings it to your table, it has a smoke effect. so he's doing some Las Vegas here. So tickets are just $65 for that. He's bringing a jazz artist in. It's going to be a great, great event. He brought me on board to help him promote it. And it's going to be it's going to be December the 14th. And you can go to Eventbrite to purchase your tickets. And then also I'm hosting my second annual Health and Beauty Corvette Car Show. And we're hosting it at the Jacksonville Land. We had close to 3,000 people attended last year. It's going to be a fun event. I'm bringing out 15 gorgeous Corvettes. It's going to be lined up in front of the landing. And we're giving people healthy tips, beauty tips. We got vendor space opportunity. We're going to take over the landing. And it's going to be January the 19th, 2019.
Okay, so...
January 19th for that event. What about the Blue Diner Gala? Where is that going to be located?
Yeah, that's going to be Grand Rose Ballroom, that's Afro American owned, inside the Reese, right across the Reese Square Mall.
Okay.
And you can go to Eventbrite to purchase a ticket.
Okay.
And Michael, this gentleman is cooking a four course meal.
Hold on, Michael. Larry, say again.
I said, tell Michael to make sure that the Praise 107.9 FM is included in his advertising buy for these events.
All right, appreciate Larry that plug. Because last year I didn't do advertising with the radio station, but it did such a great job with Taste of the Holiday. I will take your recommendation too, Larry. I will be doing some advertising.
All right, make sure
with the Health and Beauty Expo.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
Okay.
All right. Hey, John and Doc, don't forget that next Thursday, it's coming Thursday at 5:30. Where we have the first Thursday Jacksonville a monthly meeting, and it's a holiday, our annual holiday event. John, give us a little bit of information right quick about that.
Well, we're going to have a special visit by Santa Claus.
No.
Oh, really? Are
you going to dress up Santa Claus? I didn't get the memo about that one.
I thought Ray was doing that.
Oh, no. No Santa Claus, but we are having our holiday meet and greet at 5:30 this Thursday, December 1st, for our December 1st Thursday Jacksonville monthly meeting. So we just invite people to come out and share with us on this Thursday.
And of course, and of course, Larry, on Tuesday, December 11th, at the Wells Fargo Historic Springfield Learning Center, we are having a 2018 to 2019 entrepreneurship small business resources workshop. So we encourage all of you, all of the folk that's interested in starting their own business, looking for capital, expanding their business, to come out. And of course, that's going to be held December 11th. So let's RSVP. at 355-2086, 355-2086, and that will be held at the Wells Fargo Bank on Main Street.
All right, and if is Mr. Pepper still there, make sure he's invited to the our first Thursday event next Thursday at 5:30 at the Urban League. We'd love to see you there and introduce you to our entrepreneurs that will be in attendance at TD Bank. Will be there with their contingent of small business owners and the VP and manager of the TD Bank the local area there. So we appreciate it having them there. And also, it's 5:30 p.m. at the Jacksonville Urban League, and it's the annual First Thursday holiday meet and greet.
All right. And also just wanted to share that Harvest Intervention Services, we are offering psychological testing, and you can call us at 904-595-6516 to find out more information about that. We service children ages birth to 8 years old. That is our target population, and we provide developmental and behavioral health care services, and now we've added the psychological evaluations. We also are hiring for certified early childhood educators, and you can visit our website at www.harvestinterventions.com for more information.
Have you applied to Kids Hope Alliance?
I have not. We're not a nonprofit organization.
Oh, so that's I'm sorry. You
for profit. Yeah, we're for profit.
Oh, okay.
So we have to work on that.
Hey, Joe, you got some closing comments?
Yeah, no, I'm just really excited to be here. And as I said, if you all really have some ideas or you really want to make an impact, we're going to be having listening sessions, and we'll have a calendar out on our website at kidshopealliance.org for you to check out our events. And we definitely want to be in a community. We know, and the mayor has sort of challenged us to be close to the community, to keep close. So hold us accountable to that, and really, really work to build relationships, or if provide us with feedback as you see to it.
Okay, maybe we can get the mayor on to, to send that a clarion call.
Keep
up alive.
I can't speak on that.
Yeah. He can't speak on that. Don't back him into a wall. All right. Well, we thank you so much, Joe, for being here and sharing with us about the Kids Hope Alliance and all that the programs and services that are able to be provided throughout Duval for children ages birth to 19 years old.
Thank you,
Larry.
Yes, sir, and ma'am, and hey, it's December, guys. Did you realize that?
Yes, it's December 1st.
Yeah, rent is due. That's how I know it's December 1st. And payroll,
payroll, absolutely.
And the JEA bill, I mean, on and on and on and on and on. Yeah, some people don't have to worry about that, okay?
Well, I don't know who that is, but introduce me to him when you find him. Hey, I've enjoyed the week here in the Big Apple, and looking forward to getting back to Seattle, and I hope to see you all next week in Jacksonville to find some warmth.
You're not staying at Trump Plaza, right?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're at the Marriott. I understand that your information was compromised.
Well, I think all of our information is already on the internet.
So all of our information is compromised there?
Yes, sir. Big Brother is looking at us all the time. And if you think you're hiding something, forget it. It's all out there.
Okay.
But
well,
watch your emails, though.
All right. Again, just want to remind everybody for our first Thursday Jacksonville December meeting. It's our holiday meet and greet. It's going to be this Thursday, December 1st at 5:30 p.m. And also just a reminder of the Entrepreneurship Center Small Business Resources Workshop that is on Tuesday, December 11th from 6 to 9 at the Wells Fargo Historic Springfield Learning Center.
Correct.
All right. That's with the Jacksonville Urban League.
Right.
Yeah, and I want to wish everybody a happy Saturday and enjoy your weekend and be safe during the holidays. This is a time that we should definitely make